A husband and wife from California were motoring through Texas. They saw a tornado coming, and of course, they were afraid. The husband pulled the car off to the side of the road and stopped. The couple got out and crouched beside it. The twister was moving directly toward them, but at the last second veered off across a field, then hit and totally demolished a small wooden house. The man and woman, still shaking with fright, got up and ran toward the house, which now consisted of little more than kindling wood and a hole in the ground. They looked down into the hole and saw an old man holding on for dear life to a piece of timber, his eyes tightly closed. The woman called down to him, "Hey down there, are you all right?" The old man opened his eyes, looked around cautiously, and said, "I guess so." The woman asked, "Was there anyone else with you?" The old man replied, "Just me and God, and we were having an urgent conversation." I should say so. Yeah. Hopefully none of us have ever or will ever be in a similar situation. But in reality, in whatever situation we find ourselves in, or our neighborhood, our country, or the world, we should be just as fervent and earnest in our prayers about it. And from the looks of the world these days, all over the place, we need to be in urgent conversations with God about many things. This new year of 2026 has started off with a bang, literally. While we could ignore what's going on in distant places, we would be shirking our responsibility as ambassadors of Christ Jesus, ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. Some of us are called to focus intently on situations right at our fingertips, but even so, we are never to allow ourselves to be unaware and uncaring of things happening beyond our tiny circle of everyday life. If we sin and slough off our calling as believers, then is it any wonder why things are as bad as they are? Like a meme that one of you sent me just yesterday, where simple-minded Forrest Gump declares, "And just like that, all the No Kings protesters rallied in support of a Venezuelan dictator." Our Lord prayed, as did many of the disciples during their lives of service to the king, saying, "Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Remember, he said those very words from the very cross itself, as he hung there dying in excruciating pain and agony, his very blood dripping down to sanctify the very ground on which he was slaughtered for the sins of the ground and the sins of all humanity, including the sins of those who put him on the cross and who were jeering and mocking him in those very moments. We can recognize that their very humanity was so lacking on that scene that they had become the very instruments of the devil himself. And frankly, they were enjoying every minute of it. Truly, they didn't know the first thing of what they were doing. And so it is today, and always has been. But in our Western Judeo-Christian-based civilization, we've lived through times of great awakenings where our society was transformed, when the fear of God was assumed in the vast majority of people, when biblical Christian behavior was acknowledged to be the ideal and standard for how people lived their lives. To say something or someone was a Christian indicated that they were to be deserving automatically of trust. They would not lie. Their word was their bond. Signed contracts were unnecessary. Legal ramifications, if at all written in, never needed to be invoked. Why was there such a time? Many of us remember it. No, it wasn't perfect, but compared to now, compared to the absolute depravity of many people around us, the criminality is unconscionable. But of course, it's not criminal in the minds of those committing the crimes, for it's ultimately the victim's fault for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, for just getting in the way of the politicians clawing for more and more dishonest bribes and gains. The amount of institutional and government corruption is beyond belief. I metaphorically knock my head against walls trying to fathom how people can be so corrupt, so inhumane, so utterly stupid, so evil, so selfish, so self-centered, uncaring, so methodically and absolutely genius in concocting ever more clever schemes to steal and pilfer from even the poorest of the poor. The list can keep going because it's just so inconceivable. So why is this? How is it possible? How did it get so bad? We know the answer: God's absence. With God in us, we are whole as human beings. God made us, and we are each and every one of us built, needing a power source to live and move and have our being. Because God made us hybrid physical and spiritual beings, and because we live in a physical world, we can't live without a spiritual energy pack, a battery pack, one which never needs recharging. We're all designed for Holy Spirit to fit right inside ourselves so we can abundantly live our predestined lives in this world to advance the kingdom of heaven on this earth, to attain the ultimate goal when He returns of restoring all that was lost when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. The question one should ask then is, how do we get plugged into Holy Spirit's power? Through baptism. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is why our Lord Jesus, as a human man, needed to be baptized too. In the same way, all humans need to be. But just being baptized in water is not once and done. As John the Baptizer prophesied in Matthew 3:11, when Lord Jesus comes, He will submerge you into union with the Spirit of holiness and with a raging fire. Or also translated as, He will baptize you in the raging fire of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit comes into us at our baptisms. But how many people do you know who have been baptized but live no different from the heathens and pagans who walk our streets and shop in our stores every day? Obviously, we need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And this comes when we pray in faith, in humility, in surrender. When we give up our druthers and our best laid, best thought out plans and acknowledge that God knows best for us, always. After which point, we live our lives becoming ever more holy, ever more like Christ, thinking ever more like Him, ever more feeling His feelings, desiring His desires. We truly become little Christs, Christians on this earth, as we were always designed and destined to be. Which answers in the negative why there are such masses of people who truly know not what they are doing. For when people reject the one who made them, they are destined to live life aimlessly, not knowing where to go or why. For they have no Holy Spirit life energy source to draw on. But this sorry state is but just for a moment. It gets worse. For when people reject Holy Spirit by deliberately, continuously sinning, there are myriads of evil, rebellious, lawless demon spirits out there just waiting to come on in to such people, to set up shop and start partying. And these people went to No Kings rallies and now to anti-ICE rallies, trying to injure or even kill lawful authorities, ICE agents, and seek all manner of illicit and debauched, twisted and perverted things to occupy their lives. Truly, they've no idea what they've opened themselves up to. Some of them, possibly the most deluded of all, will try to dress up their thinking and behavior as if it was holy, godly, and good. In so doing, they necessarily have to make the Bible say things it never does, or delete and ignore things it does say. So, nowadays, just because someone says they're Christian does not mean it is so. We have to beware of such people. But not only be wary of them, our bond and duty is to pray for them. Prayer is our first weapon to pick up and the last one to lay down. Actually, we can't ever lay it down. For prayer is literally what keeps us alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is what keeps us connected to the vine, keeps us plugged into the power of the Holy Spirit. It is what keeps us cognizant and informed of the situations and people which need prayer each and every day. We've been reading Nahum. His final chapter we'll hear next week. He prophesied about Nineveh, some 100 years or so after Jonah. Hearing Jonah, Nineveh did repent for a while, but then they reverted back to their evil ways with a vengeance, far worse than before. God's respite of judgment didn't take. Their sin demanded judgment, and Nahum prophesied it. It happened exactly as he described. Today, we're hearing many prophecies, if we bother to tune into our brothers and sisters in Christ who actually hear from Holy Spirit. No, you won't find them on the evening news. Why in hell's name would the devil allow that? Many of today's prophecies predict calamity, massive shakings, judgments coming on even America itself this year. Should we be afraid? No. But what should we do? Prophecies provoke prayer. We are to pray and put feet on the prayers as we're able. Pray for God's mercy, His protection over us, over our leaders, our countries, over our city and state, over the millions around the world who know not what they do, who marched in downtown St. Louis these last few days, that they too will come to know the truth, which will set them free. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you called each and every one of us to be alive in such a time as this. Though we can question your judgment in putting us in these days, ultimately we know you know everything, and you know what needs to be done. And so we are here, and so we open ourselves to you, dear Holy Spirit, that we may truly be the lights in this darkness. In Jesus' name, empower us, Holy Spirit. Amen.